So glad to be here with you this morning. I'm already fired up from the worship. Thank you, Pastor Beatty and the team. Appreciate you. That was so good. There's definitely a menstrual anointing on this house. And you hear things like that thrown out, and you're like, what in the world does that mean? But 2 Kings chapter 3 talks about how when Elijah was in a particular place, Elisha, where he found himself not wanting to prophesy, not wanting to really help the kings there because they were wicked kings. It says he called for the minstrel. And this is something we can all learn when it comes to hearing God's voice. He called for the minstrel. And when the minstrel started to play the prophetic, or he started to hear God's voice and the power of God came on him and he started prophesying, and God did miracles at that particular moment. And I sense that that's what God has on this house, that there is a minstrel music making thing. I'll say more about that in a second here, but thank you so much for the worship. My love to Pastor James. I know he's at home. That's what Blake shared with me. Love him as well. And Blake and Michelle and the kids, so great to be here with you guys. We love you. Aren't you glad you have such wonderful pastors that love Jesus? They absolutely do have a love for you, a love for you to be everything God's created you to be. So I'm very happy to be here. I don't want to be too long this morning, but I am excited. And the reason why I'm excited to be with you this morning is because everything that's happened, I didn't know that we would be praying over these individuals for the particular ministries that they'd be doing. But God spoke to me about these things before I knew I was going to be praying over them and some other things. And so I want to share a little bit with you what I see coming for you and give you really an exhortation and an encouragement about what I believe God wants us to embrace in this particular time. And so the word that God gave me is very simple for you, and it's just this phrase, let us cross over. Let us cross over. Let's cross over. We could say it shortly like that. And I want to unpack that for a moment, because here's what I believe is that where you are right now as an individual in your life, God wants you to progress in the next week, the next month, the next 2 months, and definitely before 2021. There are some things that God is going to do in your life that are going to be amazing, and he wants you to be able to handle it. And so God wants to give you victory. And I sense the same thing for the church. Where this church is, come on, think with me for a moment. Right now is not where God wants this church to be in a month. It's not where he wants it to be in a couple months or even going into 2021. There are some significant things that God wants to take place in this church to build you towards something he's bringing to you. And I want to say this, is that God is bringing a greater level of personal victory and a greater level of victory through this church. Amen. This is what I'm sensing the Lord is saying. And I want us to get so excited and confident that God's going to do something even in this particular hour. I was thinking about this. There's a few areas I want to speak into. First was next generation. That was first on my list. And I'm so glad we had a chance to prophesy over them, because this is what I saw happening. God spoke to me and said that he is going to cause a move of God, literally from the youngest into college. We're going to see that the next generation is going to be impacted in a great way, and that we would see some of the greatest miracles take place through the next generation, not just to the next generation, but through them. God says he is positioning this next generation move to really stand up and not to be ashamed of their youth, but to set an example in speech and life and purity. God says he is going to cause the faith of this next generation to be amazing. He wants you to know that there is a brewing that's happening. Where there's been lots of fear, God is going to puncture that fear and bring faith in Jesus' name. Here's another thing that God told me, is that there's going to be building of bridges in this city through this church. That this church is going to serve, even as our nation has been at times divided and fractured. God says that this church is going to set an example of what the kingdom looks like. That God is going to cause this church to walk in the most moments of tension and be able to be unified together and continuing to advance the mission that God has for this church. God says that he is going to cause there to be a connectivity and an example to be displayed as you build bridges. And there are significant things that are going to take place, for God says that doors are opening up, the community is going to open up even during this time, and you're going to find that there are you're reaching into places that you would have never seen possible. And I believe that Zach, what you'll be doing, and a number of you that will be joining him, will see great things take place through that. Another thing that God spoke to me about, and I didn't understand it until I heard the worship this morning, that he said that there's going to be a greater level of creative expression, a greater level of creative expression that's relevant to the people. And this is important. I didn't quite understand. What do you mean by that? I thought I'd just throw that word out. And then I started to hear the worship. And I started to see dance, and I started to see things. And Beatty, I really feel like even as you get help, that God, you're going to be freed up to see more of this expression take place, to be creative, to see more people reach and able to use what God has given them to be able to display the gospel in ways that will reach family members, that will touch individuals, that will touch various sectors of this community. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Another thing I saw was greater provision. I want to speak this, but it's interesting. I saw a 3-month period that would hit this church. And it was like Exodus 36. You can check this out. But what happened is that people just started bringing in provision into the house. And God, it's like God had granted them supernatural provision for their own house. And then when they got that provision, they were able to enjoy some of it. Everybody say some of it. All right. But then they start to bring it into the house of God. And God says that there's going to be an acceleration even as you move into 2021, where even as the economy looks like there's lagging and there's job loss and different things, but there's going to be supernatural provision for this house. And you're going to find that some of the projects that you've desired to engage in, Blake, some of the things you want to do, you're going to have provision that comes, and it's going to be amazing as God provides for the people of the house as well. Praise God. Anybody excited about this? Let me just tell you this. Here's the thing about this is that God, all of this is for the glory of Jesus Christ. What this amounts to is more lives transformed by the gospel and the kingdom of God, the King expressing his desire, his will through this church, through your lives. This is critical for us to understand. And the reason why it's critical for us to understand is because when we say, let's cross over, that means that we need to engage God with our faith even in this hour. And we need to have practical things that we do to partner with God and say, God, I'm in on this. I want to see something happen through this church. This is a mighty church. You're a great people. And God's going to do some great things through you. I want us to look at 1 Samuel 14, 4 through 15, and just speak prophetically to you out of this particular passage here. Verse 4 says this. I'm going to start there. There were sharp columns of rock on both sides of the pass that Jonathan intended to cross to reach the Philistine garrison. One was named Bozeth and the other Sanah. And one stood to the north in front of Michmash, and the other to the south in front of Gibeah. Jonathan said to the attendant who carried his weapons, come on, let's cross over to the garrison of these uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will help us. Nothing can keep the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. His armor bearer responded, do what is in your heart. You choose. I'm right here with you, whatever you decide. Verse 8, all right, Jonathan replied, we'll cross over to the men and then let them see us. And if they say, wait until we reach you, then we will stay where we are and not go up to them. But if they say, come on up, then we'll go up because the Lord has handed them over to us, and that will be our sign. And they let themselves be seen by the Philistine garrison. And the Philistines said, look, the Hebrews are coming out of their holes where they've been hiding. And the men of the garrison called to Jonathan and his armor bearer, come on up and we'll teach you a lesson. This is what they said. Follow me, Jonathan told his armor bearer, for the Lord has handed them over to Israel. And Jonathan climbed up using his hands and his feet and with this armor bearer behind him. And Jonathan cut them down and his armor bearer followed and finished them off. And in that first assault, Jonathan and his armor bearer struck down about 20 men in a half acre field. Can you imagine that? Terror spread through the Philistine camp and the open fields to all the troops. Even the garrison and the raiding parties were terrified. And the earth shook and terror spread from God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us wisdom, insight, revelation. In this word, Lord, speak to us. Holy Spirit, you've been here, and now we're asking you to speak directly to us. Lord, help us to know your will in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. The context of this is very difficult time. There's been a major disruption in Israel. The Philistines have taken over. And what's happening here is that the Philistines have taken a particular ground that allowed them to continue to have an advantage over the Israelites. And it was between these two rocks, these two rocky places. And if you've ever seen how war takes place, if there's a pass between there and you have the high ground, then you can just take people out. And it's difficult for you to actually advance. And this is where the Israelites found themselves. Not only that, but the Philistines had so oppressed them that they didn't have real weapons. The only people who could afford weapons, because people from the other side, the enemy side, would sell them illegally because they wanted the money, the only people who could afford it were the kings, was Jonathan and Saul. But everyone else had to take their farming tools and turn them into weapons. And that's what they had. That's what they were fighting with. And it says not only that, but if you look in the chapter before in 13:6, it talks about how they were hiding in caves. They were hiding in cisterns. They were scattered and all of these different things were taking place. This was an interesting time for them. But I believe that there's a parallel to what has kind of taken place with us. When we think about the pandemic that's taken place, the social unrest. We even think about the many transitions that we've experienced here, even in GCF. It may make us a lot like them, which is vulnerable without the weapons that we feel like we need, and also feel somewhat isolated, feel somewhat disconnected. And it's in the backdrop of this that we find this particular story, and we find Jonathan saying, let's cross over. Let us cross over. And I want to talk about what it looks like for us to cross over here. Because how we handle this particular moment, how you deal, GCF, with this moment is so important to what God not only wants to do now, but what he's going to do in the future. What he's going to do in this upcoming season. If we're going to cross over, we need these three things. We need confidence, we need camaraderie, and we need commitment. This is what we need if we're going to cross over. I want to dive into this here in the scripture. I want to talk about confidence. We need confidence. What do you mean by that? It's interesting, but in this story, you know what you never see? You never see God say, Jonathan, go and take these men. Jonathan, go. You don't see that at all. God, you don't even see God saying anything really in this story. But you do understand and know who Jonathan is. Who is this Jonathan guy? The one thing we know about Jonathan, he is Saul's son, but we also know that he's David's friend, King David's friend. And we know David here is from God, right? I mean, if you're a believer in here, then you know he wrote a lot of Psalms and that he heard from God. And what the Bible tells us is that these two men had kindred spirits, meaning they were connected with each other. And I believe that that's a sign and an indication to us that Jonathan actually was sensitive to hearing God's voice. He was sensitive to understanding what God wanted to do. So even though we don't directly see God say, Jonathan, go do this, we have an understanding that Jonathan was connected with God's heart in this particular situation. And that's important for us to understand. And he understood that God is for me. God's for Israel. He's not against us. And he understood that God was at work even in that difficult time. When people were in caves, when people were scattered, when they didn't have the weapons they need, they were vulnerable, they were isolated, they were disconnected. But he understood this. God is at work. And he's for me. How many of you have been listening to that song, The Blessing? How many of you, at least one time, you listen to it. I mean, because you can see it about 50 times, right? What's the thing you hear over and over again? He is for you. He is for you. He is for you. Listen, that is the prophetic word that God is sharing with us in this hour. Yeah. God is for you. Amen. And this is what Jonathan understood. God is for me. He doesn't want me to be defeated. He doesn't want the Philistines to oppress us and enslave us. He doesn't want us to be isolated and vulnerable and scattered. He wants us to have the victory. He wants us to win. He wants us to continue to progress this kingdom because he's made a covenant long time ago with Abraham saying, I want you to be in the position that you're blessed so that you can be a blessing. He understood this. All of this was whirling around in his heart and his mind when he went up to that garrison. Here's my question for you. What do you have confidence in? What are you convinced of? Are you convinced that God is for you? Really? Are you convinced that he has victory for you? I'm telling you, he has victory for this church, despite the circumstances, despite this situation. Where we are right now, God has something for you. Maybe it's you're looking at your marriage and you're like, man, this has been difficult. I've had to stick with this person and be in quarantine with them. And it's been a difficult moment. Some of y'all are laughing right now. It's okay. Don't laugh too loud, though. Don't let your spouse hear you laugh. But you're like, God, we need a miracle. We need something to happen. We need to be able to relate and connect with each other. Maybe it's your finances. You're like, man, I lost my job or my business has tanked or whatever it may be. And you're needing a miracle. Maybe it's some personal issue that's emerged. What's interesting is they're saying that people are drinking more alcohol now than they ever have in the United States. What's going on? They're trying to seek comfort in something. Right. You know, man, I'm telling you, church, I'm not preaching against alcohol, but here's what I am saying is that you better find your comfort in Jesus. If you believe in him, there's no one that can satisfy you like Jesus. It may be any of those particular things. You're saying, God, I need something. I need a miracle. I need something to happen. And here's what I want you to know is that Jonathan was convinced that God's at work, that he's doing something, that even in this dark time, even in this moment, he is doing something. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And here's what I'm hearing the Spirit of the Lord say. He's calling you to step into that type of faith where you believe he's at work. There's a young man that I had a chance to pray with a couple of weeks back. And he has been addicted to drugs, and he's been in and out of situations, and he's recently kind of given his life to the Lord. But, of course, this particular moment has brought some things back up to him, and he's been fighting and warring, but at the same time has just seemed defeated. And he actually came in person to a service recently, and after that service, he asked if he could be filled with the Holy Spirit. If he could be baptized in the Holy Spirit, this interesting moment with him. And he didn't know what to do. He was just kind of like, I don't know. I just feel like I need that. I don't even know fully what that is. And so we gathered around him and we started praying for him. And every time, listen to this, every time we said, Holy Spirit, fill him, we said about two or three times. On this hot, dry day with no wind, all of a sudden the wind would blow. Would blow, and it would cool us down. And then we stop, and then the wind would stop. No more wind. And then we say, Holy Spirit, fill him, and the wind would blow again. And I was like, I just want to keep saying that. And the guy was like the guy's like, no, it's a sign and a wonder, Reggie. Sign and wonder. But he got it. And this guy started speaking and praying in the spirit and in heavenly language he'd never spoken in before. And after that, I said, is God saying anything to you? So he stopped. And all of a sudden, he saw himself on a track. And he was running. And he was running. And this was the picture that God brought to his mind. And all of a sudden, he had these people join him and they started running. And then all of a sudden, he started lightning bolts under his feet. And he said, I have no idea what this means. And I asked him this. I said, let me ask you a question. Have you ever felt like you didn't have purpose? And he said, yes. He said, well, God has put you on the path of purpose. And you're running. You know exactly where you're headed now. And him, and I said, have you ever felt isolated and scattered, like disconnected? He said, yes. I said, well, look, God gave you people. He's brought people alongside of you. And now you're running with purpose and with people. And then he said, well, what about those lightning bolts? I said, you ever felt helpless? Like you didn't have the power to do something. God just filled you with this Holy Spirit, and now you have power to see transformation happen in your life. God's given you purpose. He's given you people, and he's given you power. Praise God. This is what God's doing. This is happening right now in the middle of this pandemic. God is moving. He's at work. I've come to lift you and tell you today that he's working, and he's working it out for you. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I started to say something. We'll get there. But see, Jonathan, see, his confidence in God compelled him to act, to do something. It compelled him to say, God, I'm partnering with you, and I want to see something take place. And he didn't even hear a booming voice. He just knew the general will of God. He moved in that direction, and God did something. We have to partner with God, display our confidence through our actions. Here's another thing we have to do. If we're going to cross over, we need deep camaraderie. Deep camaraderie, along with our confidence in God. What's interesting here in verse 6, he says, come, let's you and I go over, cross over. Yeah. And then he says this, perhaps the Lord will help us. It's us, it's us, it's us. It's not just me. Right. It's us. We're doing this together. I love movies where you see people who have each other's back. And recently, we felt like it was time to let our kids to watch Star Wars. And man, we watched episodes 1 to episode 6. And it was so interesting, but it was so great to see Obi-Wan Kenobi and Anakin together, man. They were unbeatable. They were taking out everybody. They were taking out, you know, armies and doing all these different things. Until, if you know this story, I'm sorry to give it away. Until the Sith Lord, the evil one, started sowing seeds of mistrust and doubt into the mind of Anakin. And all of a sudden now Anakin became Obi-Wan Kenobi's enemy. And here's the thing about camaraderie. Camaraderie is built on mutual trust and relational building and investment. And if we're going to cross over, we have to cross over together, trusting together, and also building together. This is so important. I mean, these two men, Jonathan and his armor bearer, they warred together. They spent time together. They ate together. They dreamed together about what God can do. This is so important. We cannot lose this in this hour. If we're going to cross over and see greater victory, we have to continue to meet together. Yeah. This is so important. I love this because the question for us is, do we have anybody in our lives like that? Is there anyone who's encouraging us in this moment? Yeah. Is there anyone that's saying, will you progress? Will you go to the next level? Do we have anyone in our lives? Are we falling prey to being more isolated, to being more scattered, to being more disconnected? Are we not taking the time that's necessary for us to connect? This is so important because this was a joint endeavor. And I want to tell you about this. Every single person is valuable in this endeavor and going to the next place. Every single person, even this armor bearer. What's interesting about it is he's called an attendant or armor bearer, and we don't know what his name is. But you know what? Even though he's nameless, he's not fameless. How do we know that? We always talk about him. Jonathan's armor bearer. He played an incredible role. Listen, you cannot underestimate the role that you play in seeing this church cross over to the next side. You cannot underestimate it. He did some incredible things here. The first thing he did is he said, Jonathan, you know, let's cross over. Let's do it. Jonathan says, I want to cross over. He encourages them. Yes, let's do it. I love what he says. You got to remember this phrase. He says, do what is in your heart. Yeah. I love that. Man, I tell you what. It's not just enough for us to say, oh, pastor, I love the vision. I love where you're going. I love where we're headed. Man, I bless you. But he did another thing. He said, I'm here with you. I'm in this with you. Yeah. You know, wouldn't it have been interesting if Jonathan said that, if his armor bearer was like, Jonathan, God bless you. You go on up to that mountain up there. You try to take that those people out. You know, I'm with you. You know, but he didn't do that. He said, look, I'm in this with you. Let's go together. Let's go together. We can't say, pastor, I bless your vision. It's great. It's awesome. I bless the vision of the elders, this house and where we're going. But we don't pray. We don't give financially and we don't serve. All of those things are helping to contribute to crossing over. We have to do it. That's a part of the camaraderie. It's investing in each other, serving together, warring together, praying together. Jonathan's armor bearer says, I'm in this with you. We have to stay connected during this time. We have to extend trust during this time. And we have to continue to meet together. There are life groups going on. I'm telling you, if you're not a part of one, you need to jump in one. You need to do whatever you can. Even if you say, man, I'm so zoomed out, I'm so virtualed out, or whatever it is, I'm just done with this. Listen, God has called us to be the church, whether it's through a virtual platform or not. We are called to be the church, and the church meets together. The church shares a common worship and praise of Jesus, and it happens best when we are connected with each other. Oh, come on, somebody. I know I'm talking to somebody today. It's okay. I'll be gone in a little bit. I know I'm stepping on some toes. That's fine. All right. Somebody said, go on and do it. God's called us to build a camaraderie. I love that term because comrade, it's deeper than just, oh, let's just get connected. No, there's trust. There's relationship. There's investment together. And when there's that type of unity, there's that type of synergy, then all of a sudden we can find ourselves pushing the enemy back and progressing forward. We can see a move of God take place, momentum take place, and we can see the kingdom of God come the way it should come through this church. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I'm getting excited right now. Along with these two things, confidence and camaraderie, lastly, we need commitment. We need commitment. I realize that word scares the daylights out of people sometimes. Yep. We live in just a non-committed generation. It's like anytime commitment comes up, it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, even with young people, it's like, that's a cuss word. Like, don't say that. You know, commitment, like, I don't want to commit to anything. Why? Because I might miss out on something if I commit to something. And the truth is that you're going to miss out on the greatest blessings of your entire life if you don't commit to something. That's where you grow. That's where you mature. That's where you become a responsible person that becomes beneficial to the church and society. Commitment. We need to be committed. Jonathan says this. It's an interesting thing. He shows his commitment to fighting for the victory of his people, to achieve this victory. In two ways, it's interesting. The first one is how he shares this war, this battle is going to take place. I find it so funny. It makes me laugh. He's like, okay, so here's the plan. We're gonna present ourselves to the Philistines. And if they tell us to come up, then we know, man, God has delivered them into our hands. So we're going to fight. We're going to beat them down. We're going to push forward the kingdom of Israel, and it's going to be great. He said, but if they don't call us up, we'll just wait for them down here. In other words, whether we go up or they come down, we're going to fight. We're going to progress. We're not going to be held back. We're not going to allow anything to help to keep us from fighting and seeing the victory of God in our lives. Right. And this is what he said. This is the commitment we have to have. Regardless of what happens, regardless of what the governor says about the next thing we have to do, if we have to go back into a stage one or whatever it may be, we as a church are called to progress and to continue on and to see the kingdom of God move and to see more disciples made and the mission of this house achieved. Praise God. Amen. We're called to do it regardless. It was interesting. The college campus ministers in our church at Kings Park, they came back and they just hit me with something that was so good. They said that they were on campus and all the students kept saying to him, man, I had no idea there were so many Jesus groups. All these Jesus groups on the college campus. Man, there's too many. It's overbearing. And I was like, what? They said that? They said, yes. And they said, here's the reason why. Pastor Reggie, they said, because all the other organizations shut down because the college shut down. But the one that keeps going is the one that serves the God who still is on the throne and still is accomplishing his mission, and that is Jesus Christ. So the Jesus groups continue. Praise God. This is the commitment God's calling us to in this hour. We're committed. Oh, man. But I feel real comfortable in my house just sitting and doing whatever. Right. I'm not saying you should come to church if you feel uncomfortable and you're watching online, but I am saying that you must be engaged in this hour. Yeah. It is just like God to hide some of the greatest treasure in an hour like this, where it seems difficult and hard to get to it, right? Mm-hmm. But God has hidden it. I want to tell you something by the Spirit. That the young generation, we're going to see a massive revival come out of this. I want to tell you that they are being ministered to. They're getting encountered over and over again, bombarded with the message of the gospel. Their hearts are being pricked. I'm hearing it all over the place. We're going to see it take place. Don't slack off in this particular moment. Let's raise the commitment level. Let's go to another level. Personally, let's get in the Word. Let's meditate on the Word. Let the Word be in our hearts and in our mouths. Let's cling to it. What are we speaking? Are we speaking more about what the news is saying? Or are we speaking about what God is saying? What does His Word say? It's eternal. This is going to change. It seems like it's forever. I'm sure they felt like that 100 years ago. With the Spanish flu as well, but it's going to turn around. Something is going to happen. And we want to be found with the everlasting living Word and living hope that we sung about on the inside of us. That's what we need. It means that we figure out how to shepherd and disciple people during this time. And we engage in that. We serve. We help. We're committed to this. One other thing I like about this commitment that we see. Hey, we're going to fight either way. As I love this particular phrase here. Jonathan tells his armor bearer. He looks at him, and I'm sure he's looking up at the men. He knows that there's an army waiting for him. Come on, this is, if you watch a good movie, you can feel me right now. He looks out and he says, me and you. But you know what? We got a big God. And he's not restrained to save by many or by few. What is he saying here? He's saying, you know what? We may not have all the resources. We may not have all the money we need. We may not have all the people in the right places. We may not have the great plan, the great strategy. We may not have all the knowledge. We may not have all the learning and understanding we need. But we are limited. But God is not limited. God is a limitless God. He's the all-knowing God. He's the all-powerful God. He's the all-present God. He's Jehovah Jireh. He can provide for us. He's Jehovah Tuscanu. He's our banner. He is the God who brings us victory. He is above all else. There is no one like this God. No one. This is what he said. Is that this God that we serve, that we have covenant with, is bigger and greater than any of our limitations. I want to encourage you to move forward. I want to encourage you to cross over. You may be looking at stuff and say, oh, I wish we had this. I wish we could do this. I wish we had that. I wish. And I want to tell you this, that God does want to grant it, but don't let that hinder you from crossing over. Oh, I wish we could meet in person on campus. Oh, I wish we could have a big gathering or whatever. God is not restrained to save by many or by few. He can do it. He's doing it. He's doing it right now. Right now, what's happening? You know, I'll just share a personal story. We were scheduled to go to Hawaii, and this is divine that we're here. We bought our tickets, and we did something that I will never do again during this pandemic, which is not get tickets that could be refunded. That's a bad idea, because what happened is that they basically caused the conference to go virtual and said, you can be right where you are, don't fly in, because Hawaii's put all these different restrictions on, and you'll basically be trapped here for 28 days, and which is not a bad thing, except for the fact that I have a job and I actually have responsibilities, and we have kids, and we have gone by ourselves, and our kids would be left by themselves. So that would be a problem. And so we were just like, man, like we're not going to get refunded from this particular trip. This is crazy. And then I remembered this, is that God actually has a say in matters. Like, he is bigger than what they can tell us. They're telling us, you won't be refunded. And I said, okay, we're going to pray. So we prayed and we waited weeks and weeks. We're talking about 3 or 4 weeks, praying. And then all of a sudden, I got this notification in my email, that said they changed our time of our trip. I didn't think anything of it. I was like, okay, all right, they changed the trip. But I don't know if we can get a refund, because flying to Hawaii is not cheap, if you've ever been there before. And I didn't want to basically lose all of that, especially during this time. And so I went to call them and finally canceled the trip. And they were just going to give me credit or whatever. And the guy says, yeah, you know, I see you didn't get tickets that are refundable. And I was like, I did not. And he was like, well, I guess we're just going to have to, you know, wait a minute. I was going to give you credit, but hold on for a second. It looks like they changed your flight. And then he went in there and saw, they changed your flight by, and it was the time in between the layovers is about 90 plus minutes. And he said, we have a rule that if it's over 90 minutes, that you get refunded for the whole trip. And so we got refunded for that whole entire trip. See, God is above what other people are saying. Let me just talk about what he's doing all over the earth through these live streams. There are closed nations right now where these things are being broadcast, because kids and friends know each other, and they're sending out the links and sharing it with other people. And I'm hearing this firsthand from people in Iran, closed nations, Japan, where the less than 1% are Christians, and all throughout the Middle East, where they're sharing these links, and the students, college students who got reached in a particular place are watching these live streams. Their parents are coming in and watching it with them and giving their lives to Jesus. God is using this time to spark revival throughout the world. He's at work. Let's look to Jesus in this. Can we look to Jesus? When I think about Jesus, Jesus was confident that God would work out, this Father of his would work out salvation on our behalf to save us from our sin and our brokenness, to bring us into the new life that he has for us. Let's look to Jesus, who had such an amazing unity and camaraderie with the Father that he said, whatever you want to do, my heart's with you. He said it even greater than Jonathan because he knew that that would cost him personally. But he said, Father, my heart is with you. Not my will, but your will be done. Let's look to Jesus, who is committed. It says that he despised shame of the cross, but he was committed to the mission of the Father, regardless of what was happening. In one of the darkest hours ever, where he was brutally murdered, whipped, beaten, nailed to a cross. See, Jesus shows us that even in this time, because of his example, because of what he did, he now gives us the power to be able to live in the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of social unrest, in the middle of a 2020 election, and whatever else you may think. It doesn't matter. Jesus overcame something greater than that. So can we? We need confidence. We need camaraderie. We need commitment. This is what God is calling this church to. This is going to be a mighty, mighty, mighty church beyond what it is right now. You are already mighty. You're already powerful. But God's taken us to another level. He's taken us to another place. There's greater victory in store for you. You personally and this church as a whole. We need to believe God's at work. Oh, he's working right now. He's working. We've got to trust each other. Have a deeper level of relational connection, camaraderie. And unlike everyone else in the world who's leaving their commitments, saying forget about it during this time, got to be committed. Let me pray for you right now. If you know there's something I said today that God is speaking to you right now, that the Holy Spirit is asking you to engage in a greater level of confidence. He's saying, there have been various things that have happened that have caused you to mistrust, but perhaps this is the moment where you re-engage. You say, I'm willing to start over. I'm willing to build trust. I'm willing to see a greater level of camaraderie. Perhaps you felt that this would be a time where you could go back on your commitments. You could not be as engaged. The Holy Spirit speaking to you right now. I want you to stand to your feet. I want to pray for you right now. Is there anyone like that all over this place? It's okay. This is a family moment. If you're watching online, I want you to extend your hands out. You can stand right where you are. Is there anyone else? There's a unique grace for this season that God wants to put on you. A grace to cross over. You felt like you've been between two of these mountains. The enemy's had an upper hand. You've been vulnerable. You've been isolated. You've been disconnected God's calling you to cross over. Right now, Father, I thank you for every single person who's responding in this moment. This is a defining moment for them. The word of the Lord that you're sharing with them personally, I believe you're speaking to them into their issue at this very moment. And Lord, you're going to turn things around for them, Lord. And I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, for release of faith, a greater level of confidence to come, that they would cross over into the victory that you have for them, that they would utterly defeat their enemies. Lord, I'm asking right now that there would be a greater level of connection and camaraderie. Lord, that they would put aside mistrust and they would come to a place of agreement and unity and synergy to move this house forward. And Lord, I'm praying for every person, Lord, that has lacked the commitment. Lord, give them strength during this time. Oh, Lord, this is your church. These are your people. Give them strength. Let your power come. Let your presence come. Lord, you said those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Lord, we wait for you. Let your strength come. Holy Spirit, right now, Lord, I bless this place with everything that's been spoken, what you'll do with the next generation, for the financial provision that will come into their house. You say, I need provision. Go ahead, raise up your hand right now. Provision, come by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we say in Jesus' name that there will be miracles that take place. Lord, you will bring about, in some ways, money from the fish's mouth as you did Jesus. It will come in conventional and unconventional ways. Financial blessings. I see God putting money into someone's hand. An extraordinary gift, extraordinary opportunity in this next 18 days is coming. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for the creativity, the release in this house, songs, artistry. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for the power and the strength to build bridges, to walk as kingdom citizens, to let your love flow. Lord, we pray this and we move where you move. We cross over. We cross over. Just say that. Say, let's cross over. Say, Jesus, I'm crossing over. Thank you, Holy Spirit. They're in agreement. Take our words. Empower them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, let's give God a hand this morning.